Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yeah.
Weezy.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. Presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You're looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. Joining us right now on the Mattress Ross Hotline is Chris Thompson, Redskins running back. He's presented by Steamfitters UA Local 602. They built this city. What's up, Chris?
Hey, what's going on? How
hey,
you doing?
Man. Missed
how are you
out
feeling
there.
How are you feeling this morning?
I'm feeling good. Feeling better.
So it's turf toe, right?
Feel.
Yeah, what's
toe.
Up?
Yeah.
What does that mean? What's turf toe?
It's basically, from my understanding, it's somewhat of a real bad jammed toe, but to get more in detail, outside of basically jamming it real bad, it's a ligament or something of some sort that, like, tears underneath your toe.
Got you.
And, you know, you have to, it's one of those injuries you have to, like, basically just give it some time to heal, and it's kind of hard to walk, put pressure on it, and obviously with what I do, you know, it's tough to do so. Usually with the injury, the turf toe happens to the big toe. For me, it wasn't my big toe, so, you know, I don't need to have surgery or anything like that. It's just, you know, taking a little time to just let that that's what's torn, you know, to heal up, and then I'll be fine.
So that doesn't sound like you'll be ready to go this Thursday then, right? Probably not?
I don't know. We got to see about that.
I don't know. How frustrated were you that the week you're off, they pound the ball 100 times?
Oh, man, yeah. I knew it was going to rain, and we kind of – I mean, just talking during the week, we kind of knew it was going to rain, but I didn't think it was going to be like that.
Right.
And in a game like that, obviously you're going to run the ball a whole lot. I don't know how much I would have seen, you know, been on the field anyways in those, you know, in those elements or whatever, because I think Smallwood only got a couple of runs here and there, but sometimes that's the kind of weather that players don't get tired in as well. So AP and the motor that he has, he probably didn't need to take too many breaks. And as you can see, we couldn't and didn't throw the ball too much in those elements. So just a tough one. Obviously, you like those games, especially as running backs, because you know, like, you're going to run the ball a whole lot, but the bad thing is the defense knows that as well. So,
right,
you know, they just kind of pin their ears back and just come.
Joined by Chris Thompson, presented by Steamfitters UA Local 602. They built this city. Tell us your perception of the Bill Callahan era versus the Jay Gruden era. It's only been a couple of weeks. We've heard about some changes in practice. Is it dramatic or is it just some tweaks?
I think it's some pretty big changes, and you know, people that's come out here and seen it has, you know, there's some things that's different, and you know, as far as like the way we warm up and a couple of different drills and stuff that we do, and that's something from my understanding, being with Coach, running back coach, Coach Jordan, he played with him and coached with him as well when he was a head coach before. So he said this is the way Coach Callahan likes to do things. And, you know, it's his way of doing things. And I think guys, everybody has answered well and been able to adjust to it. The very first practice was a little bit different because we didn't know you know, how he was as a head coach. You know, he usually sits back and just kind of handles his guys, you know, since he's been the assistant guy. But, you know, I think he's been doing a really good job at it, and guys have been fine with it. And I think they've enjoyed, you know, just having the practices and stuff that he's, you know, he's been running.
Is he approachable? You know, like, how is he personality-wise compared to Jay in terms of – because Jay just seemed like such a player's coach. Everybody's, you know, you could see him kind of joking around with him, that sort of thing. Do you have that same kind of –
He said that was overstated.
Yeah. Do you have that same kind of rapport with Bill?
Yeah, does Bill have a good sense of humor? He doesn't strike me as a guy with a good sense of humor, Chris.
I think because people look at Coach Callahan and he's older – a lot of guys don't really say much to him, but if you do talk to him, he does. He has a sense of humor. He's big time, in my opinion, from being with him the last few years, very approachable, a guy you can sit down and talk to, a guy that you can voice your opinions. And he made that be known the first team meeting we had with him. He let us know if there's something – you know, if we feel a certain way, just let them know about something that we may not like, something we may want to change or tweak here and there. He's always open. He's always open to listen and get our input on things. And I've even seen him, you know, talking to Landon about some things in practices, during practice, outside of practice. So he's, you know, he's open to opinions.
Chris, the next time you see Coach Callahan, I want you to take a still photo of Dave Chappelle and show it to him and ask him who that person is. Do you think he would know who Dave Chappelle is?
I highly doubt it. Yeah. I don't think so.
Are you trying to say he's out of touch, Cakes?
Yeah, maybe a little bit.
He's just an old-school football guy. That's what he is.
Yeah, he is.
Let me ask you about the Haskins question, because, you know, when you're 1-6 and clearly, I mean, you know, you still have games. I suppose you could win 9 in a row or whatever's left, but I don't think anybody expects that at this point.
9 in a row. Come on.
I'm just saying, when you look at it from a player.
Tactically, it could happen.
Well, when you're a player, you know, he's not going to say, oh, yeah, we're going to lose a bunch. I get it.
Yeah.
But, you know, at some point, people want to see Haskins. And, you know, mm-hmm. Gruden has indicated in some of his interviews, he's kind of said it all along, that he just felt like, look, you only played 1 year in college, you only had 13, 14 starts, there's a lot to learn. I don't think that's a shot against him, right? There are about 10 guys in the world that can do this at an elite level. There is a lot to learn. You know, how close do you think? You're there every day, you see him throwing, you see him practicing. Do you think he's close? Do you think it would hurt him to play him now? Do you think we'll see him in a few weeks? Give us your take on the whole situation.
My honest opinion, I think he should continue doing what he's doing right now, and continuing to learn, continuing to get better at practice. I mean, I'm seeing changes with him. I've seen his growth from April to now, and you know, I think if given the opportunity, he'll be comfortable, and you know, he'll be prepared back there. But at the same time, I think especially a guy, I wouldn't want him to be thrown in a bad situation. I think it would help him to be able to sit back and just continue to learn all year. And then when it's his opportunity next year, cause he's the future quarterback here, you give it to him and you let him go. There's no, you know, I've seen guys that, I mean, we've all seen guys that sat back, you know, their rookie year or even a couple years in their career and then end up doing well for themselves. I feel like there's no need to rush him. And
do you think it would be rushing him, Chris? If they played him right now, do you think he wouldn't be ready?
No, I think he would be ready, but at the same time, if he was given more time, if he was given more of a season, you know, way more time to really understand every, you know, the ins and outs of the playbook, you know, from back to front, you know, be able to sit down and talk to Kev and break down the plays with him, I feel like that's something that he could sit back and learn right now. And when next year comes around, you know, he will be one of those guys that would be able to go up in front of the meeting and, you know, be able to install the plays and stuff himself. I want him to be that, you know, I want to see him be that type of player. And that, I feel like that's something you can do when you're sitting back and, you know, you always got to get yourself prepared, but at the same time, you know, he's sitting back and he's being able to just learn. And I mean, he got a lot of former quarterbacks here.
Right.
That's helping them and teaching them. But I feel like when or if he gets his name called, you know, he'll be ready. And, you know, I've heard he has his own, you know, set of plays or his own, like, playbook if, right, you know, something happens to one of the quarterbacks, whatever the case may be. So I know he'll be ready for that.
Do you think a guy like him, though, let's just say it's kind of true, like he's kind of raw, he's just not quite there yet. Do you believe that someone like that can be harmed by going in? Some people think it doesn't hurt. You just learn, you take your lumps, and you grow from it. Others think, no, you can crush their confidence, you can get them hurt physically. You know, some people have said Patrick Ramsey never developed because he was just sacked 50 times. Same thing with David Carr. There are other guys. Do you believe he could be harmed if he's put out there too soon?
I think sometimes, especially for quarterbacks, they never want to get hit. If he get, you know, you put quarterbacks in a situation where he's getting hit, getting sacked a lot, and not saying that our offensive line isn't good enough or anything like that, but you know, I think it could sometimes. And then let's say if at the absolute worst, he goes out and is throwing more, you know, interceptions than he is touchdowns, that could be more of a shot at the confidence as well.
You think that's important? I think that's important. JP, my colleague here, he doesn't think confident. He thinks, he'll be confident.
No, confidence is definitely everything. It's everything. You know, if especially, you know, for quarterbacks and young quarterbacks at that, young players, period, coming into this league and you know, there's social media, and, you know, with us in our 20s, we can't seem to stay away from it. And on top of playing bad, which already messes you up, you know, messes us up on an individual level, there's everything else on the outside where it's like you can't avoid it. You go out to eat, and maybe on ESPN, and they're talking about you for the whole hour segment and stuff like that. It's a lot of different factors that play into it as well. On top of guys, you know, we all want to be the best, and if you're not going out there and playing your best, it's like, sometimes you have those moments of doubt, and, you know, that's not something I want to see out of him. You don't want to see it out of anybody.
By the way, he's misstating. It's not that I say confidence doesn't matter. I don't want a guy whose confidence gets shattered. I want the guy who leads the league. I want the guy who leads the league in interceptions, like Peyton Manning, who led the league in interceptions as a rookie. His confidence wasn't shattered. He came back and became an all-time great. You know, yep. I think Haskins, I'm guessing, nobody knows. I think Haskins has that athletic arrogance that's not going to be shattered by having, you know, a 3-interception game like he had against the Giants, that he'll gain valuable game experience, but we don't know. Would you be surprised, though, would you be surprised if Dwayne isn't the starter come the Bills game where there's going to be 10 days before, or the Jets game where you have a bye? Would you be surprised if Dwayne isn't starting for those games?
No, okay. I wouldn't be. Just because this is just my opinion. I think the coaches are really just trying to groom him and get him ready for the future and not really try to push him too much now. I don't know. I mean, maybe if, you know, we lose Thursday, we lose against Buffalo, then they may be like, all right, we need to just let him, you know, play the rest of this season. We're not going to the playoffs. Just, you know, because sometimes, obviously sometimes that happens in a lot of situations. You start to play your younger players when you know, you're getting yourself ready for next year. So if it happens, it happens. But I wouldn't necessarily be surprised if it doesn't. I think I feel like they're doing their best. The coaches are doing their best at just trying to, you know, protect him and not put him in any bad situations. You never want to do that to a young guy.
Chris, you guys faced the Vikings and Kirk Cousins on Thursday. What was it like being his teammate?
Oh, it was fun, man. I enjoyed it. You know, just Kirk was my scout team quarterback when I was on practice squad. So I got a lot of work and reps in with Kirk, and we still keep in contact now. He'll watch film sometimes and send me clips, and you know, we'll text each other from time to time. So he's one of my guys. He's you know, I felt like we had a good relationship while we were here, especially on the football field. He just being around him, he knew what I wanted to do, and I knew what he was thinking on certain plays and stuff. So it's, you know, it'll be good to see him.
Hey, real quick, did you get a chance to watch any of the other games in the league yesterday?
No, I didn't.
What do you think? Okay, you didn't get to see it, but what do you think of the fact that Lamar Jackson, quarterback, is the sixth leading rusher in the NFL right now?
That's crazy, but it's not a surprise. That's what he could do. That he was a great runner. You know, people compare him to Michael Vick, you know, right now, and he's in the perfect offense. The coach tailored the whole entire offense around him, and he's been able to do some great things. And if you're a quarterback that can run a 4.3 and throw the ball well, you're going to do some great things. So I think he's going to continue to get better, but definitely an exciting player to watch. And shoot, there's not much else to say. He's been killing it. He's a superior athlete.
All right, Chris. Thank you, man. Heal up. We'd love to see you play on Thursday night. I don't know if you'll be ready, but we'd love to see you out there if you are.
Yeah. All right. Appreciate it.
Yeah, man.
All right.
Rest
that
toe.
That's Chris Thompson, presented by Steam Fitters. UA Local 602, they built this city.
I didn't think you're able to get turf toe on your non-big toe, but apparently you can.
He said it's not his big toe.
Sounded like he was grasping to play, but I would bet against it.
Oh, I'm sure he's dying to play. Especially now with the emphasis on running the ball all the time.
Right.
It's right up his alley.
They activated Craig Reynolds yesterday from Cutstown.
Right. They cut Cam Sims. Poor Cam Sims. Up and down, up and down, up and down. Yeah, it's just over.
That's why I always say, you know, that we spent so much time in the preseason talking about the Cam Sims and Steven Sims of the world. They don't really make any impact plays.
They're bit players.
Marginal. I mean, Steven Sims had the one long touchdown.
They got to pass to Sims more. They just hand off to
him. Against the Pats.
Okay, against the Patriots. Right. That's right. It was the one touchdown against the Patriots.
Yeah.
Hey, remember when the Skins had the lead against the Patriots? That was a fun time.
How about that first half in the opener?
Yeah. Honestly, way back when.
I mean, dude, there's 9 more weeks left. This is not like week 13.
It's brutal.
This is brutal.
He says he wouldn't be surprised if Haskins isn't playing. I would be if Haskins isn't playing Jets.
Welcome to the Skins death march.
For whatever reason, the coaching staff is in no rush to play this game.
Well, they do have a T-Rex as the head coach.
The previous coach wasn't in the
Paleolithic era.
All right, got to take a break. If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington on a Misery Monday, driven by Priority Toyota Springfield, where you can have it all, including Priorities for Life, the most comprehensive lifetime vehicle coverage in the business. Shop PriorityToyotaSpringfield.com. We're going to be out and about this week. Tomorrow night, Nationals watch party for Game 1 of the World Series. It's going to be me and EB at Mad Hatter's.
Mad Hatter, not an S.
Yeah, no S.
You keep Mad Hatter. You like to throw S's on stuff. Mad Hatter.
Yeah, Mad Hatter. Okay, it's Mad Hatter, whatever. Yeah. Haven't been there in years, didn't remember the name.
It's Mad Hatter.
I feel like we did a pregame show there one time.
We've been there on various occasions.
We've been there through the years. I'm convinced every sort of bar in D.C. that's been around for a decade plus,
yeah,
we've appeared at.
You know what? I'll give them credit. They've been around under the same name for a long time.
A long time.
Like, if you can last that long, give you props.
We're going to be there Tuesday night. That's tomorrow.
Yep.
8 o'clock. Join us for the watch party. And then it's me and EB at Glory Days Grill this Thursday in Reston.
Ah, good.
Reston/North Point, but it's Reston.
Yes. And I'll be hosting a watch party with one of you donks Wednesday night. Site to be determined.
Correct. But I know it's me and EB Tuesday night, Thursday night, Glory Days Grill in Reston. I believe that is going to kick off at 6 p.m. because it's a Thursday night game before the Redskins face the Vikings on Thursday Night Football. And then we got the watch party at Mad Hatter in D.C. tomorrow night. Speaking of the Nats, it's going to be Max Scherzer on the mound against Gerrit Cole. We know that Cole has been dominant. He's given up one run in the postseason.
But is he not lost in his last 20 starts or something crazy like that?
Ridiculous
stats. I mean, it's absurd.
I know the other night, just watching some of the highlights, they were pointing out he was still throwing 99 in the seventh inning. So I would say of the pitchers they have faced in the postseason, he's most similar to Walker Buehler, who they certainly didn't fare well against, of the Dodgers.
Right.
But Max, his last two starts, has pitched really well. It's funny, I have a buddy who just texted me. He's like, why the hell are we going with Max in game one? Shouldn't it be Stras? Stras has been better in the postseason. I he's your number one guy. Max is, that's just his role on this team. He's the number one guy. He has the Hall of Fame resume, the 3 Cy Young Awards. And it's not like he's pitched poorly. It's crazy. His last two outings, he's actually only given up one run. He gave up one run against the Dodgers, and then against the Cardinals, he pitched 7 shutout.
No, he's been great. Stras has been unbelievable, but he and Max have been both given up 4 runs. I think Stras has given up 4 runs in 22 innings. Max has given up 4 runs in 20. They've been the same.
I mean, I will say I have a little more confidence in Strasburg on the mound just of late, because Max, when he came off the injured list, if you looked at his numbers in August and September, it wasn't very Max-like. He was getting hit a little bit.
Yeah, but in the postseason, they're basically pitching identically well. Yeah. I think Stras is getting like 1.5 more strikeouts per 9 innings than Max is. So he's missing a few more bats. But overall, Stras is pitching to a 1.6 ERA. Max is pitching to a 1.8. The guy that's been kind of incredible, kind of like weird and hard to understand, is Corbin, who's striking out almost 18 per 9 innings. But he's having those 1 or 2 innings that's killing.
Yeah, that ridiculous start to game 4 here at Nats Park, where he's just mowing dudes down.
What, do you have like 10 strikeouts in the first 4 innings?
Yep.
First 3 innings, something
like
that.
Set a postseason record.
Killing his ERA is that relief appearance in game 2 of
definitely
the Dodger
not
series. I've forgotten which game it was in the Dodger series where he came in relief.
Right. Look, I have no problem pitching Max. I don't think you want to upset the apple cart at all. Max likes being the one. He likes, you know, being the anchor there. Stras, I love the way he's responded in the postseason these last couple years. I think he's very comfortable at the number 2 spot. Why would you change it? Both are pitching great. I have no problem with it. I do have a problem with Valdez is thinking out the box, trying to match up and go, oh, we're going against Cole. Let's just throw Sanchez
Valdez
out there.
He's doing a bit.
And let's not just...
He's doing an I'm different bit.
By the way, look at Sanchez's postseason numbers.
He's been pretty good.
He's been really good.
Now, he's been pretty good.
Less innings, but...
Yeah. Yeah.
Sanchez will come in there, throw that slop.
Right.
They're not used to it.
Just trying to think differently.
Look, you're going to need a freaking gem from Max, because you're going to get one from Cole in all likelihood. I mean, he's just unbelievable.
And I think they've gotten to the point, too, where the everyday lineup is set. I mean, if you want to maybe put Michael A. Taylor over Robles, but I think you're going to have Zimmerman start each game at first base, right? And Kendrick at second. Think about it. When they started the playoffs, they were still doing some mixing match of Kendrick at first base. Mm-hmm. And Zimmerman's hit so well, he deserves, I think, to be out there every game.
Well, and Davey
and
said,
then you have to keep Kendrick's bat in there, so put him out there at second base.
And who's going to be your DH? Matt Adams?
Yeah, go with Matt Adams. And I guess you could use Kendrick Wright as DH in the American League Parks.
You could.
That's fine.
You could. I don't know. I just think that
And I believe they're going to get one out of two in Houston.
Well, I like that they're
the underdog.
I think they
can win game one. That's going to be the harder one.
It's going to
be against Cole.
They're going to be rusty.
It's going to be hard to hit Verlander, by the way. Now, Verlander in this postseason has given up some runs.
He seems very Clayton Kershaw-ish right now.
But I think part of it is at least one time he pitched on like 3 days rest.
Mm-hmm.
So he's probably going to be rested. The perfect scenario would have been the freaking Yankees win game six.
Go to seven.
Force to game seven. Cole would have pitched in that game.
Correct.
So you wouldn't have to see him until, I guess, Washington.
But I don't think there's any doubt we're facing the superior team. Like, you definitely wanted to face the Yankees, not the Astros. Like, there was some doubt, like, when we talked about it.
Some people would have said the Yankees would have been a superior team, too.
Well, maybe to the Nats, but I think the Astros were clearly the best team still around.
Yeah, won the World Series 2 years ago.
That's definitely going to be the toughest matchup.
That's why they're the heavy favorite.
The heaviest favorite since 2007.
Yep.
I don't know.
Are you hedging it again?
I think it's going to pay.
You know how we've felt like it's been a Caps-like run? And I do think there have been a lot of similarities. It got over the hump, starting to roll.
Yeah.
Did the break kind of dampen like the momentum?
Dull the roar?
Right. There's been like the momentum of just.
Well, nobody's calling in about it.
We got over the Dodgers hump.
Yeah.
Get into the championship series and then just mow down the Cardinals.
I think people are just shaking off the malaise of the Redskins' performance yesterday, and they'll wake up and they'll start
by
pointing
tomorrow,
towards the Nats.
By tomorrow,
like
people.
Tonight and into tomorrow
hopefully.
Morning.
Hopefully. I do know this, that the buzz sort of when I was at church and whenever I was out and about talking to people, everyone's talking about if they have World Series tickets or not. And
oh, really?
But most people are just not going to pay $1,000+ per ticket.
I think the
people
standard...
I know that have tickets are the people that were season ticket holders that got an opportunity to get it. But right. Most people just aren't. I think, I don't want to say it on air, but there's somebody associated with the show peripherally that's paying about $15,000 for his whole family to go to the game.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
To one game or to multiple games?
That's flying the daughters in, taking the sons.
Unbelievable.
Like taking five or six people.
Well, I think the standing room only tickets are going on SeatGeek for like $700.
No, I think this person's paying like $1,500 a ticket and is bringing a ton of people.
Well, you remember
that's
the
crazy guy
who bought us drinks with his dad at, I forget the name of
the
hotel.
Oh, it was West Palm.
In West Palm Beach.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hyatt.
He joined us yesterday at Glory Days Grill, and he's going with a buddy to Houston.
Yeah.
To the games, and he told me his total price tag. It was pretty damn reasonable, actually. Flying,
including
to Houston,
tickets.
I think he might have a hookup on the tickets, but he was.
Well, the tickets are the prohibitive thing for most people. Most people aren't going to pay $1,000+ per ticket.
No,
it's crazy.
Did I just have a little birdie whisper in my ear that AWOD is heading to Game 4 of the World Series? How did you make that happen?
Yep, I'll be. At game four, cheering on the Nationals with Chuck Lee.
Oh.
I guilt tripped him. I said, you know what? I've seen Valdez at Pamplona every weekend.
Yeah.
And so he mentioned he had tickets, and I said, sice it.
And Valdez was, he was,
what does that even mean?
He was hanging out with Chuck Lee at the Post Malone
right.
show. They were canoodling together.
I'll give them to you.
These guys are battling for Chuck Lee's affection.
They are.
The owner of Pamplona.
So Chuck bought tickets, so he's going to take you?
We have a silly foursome. You got AWOD from the Sports Junkies. You got Guy Lambert, WPGC.
Yes.
Right. I love Guy.
Pete from Echo Stage.
All right.
And Chuck Lee.
That's quite a foursome.
The dream team. Gonna be cheering the Nats to victory.
All right. Let's go to our guy John. John DePompa. John, what's up, pal?
See, I thought AWOD was going to the game because if he sits in right field and smiles, it can substitute as a second foul pole.
Right. Those yellow tees.
He's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, by the way, the donk who's paying $15,000, does it rhyme with Ramis C. Gooney?
It might.
Possibly. We don't know.
It might.
Yeah, he comes up clutch. Speaking of coming up clutch, you boys, you wonder why nobody's going to call out the Nats. You spend all show talking about how, what'd you call it, going to be a bloodbath in game one, EB?
I don't think
you're
it's going
to down the dumps.
I don't feel confident cold.
Yeah,
about
it's not, he's not a good hype
put it
man
this way,
for game
the
one.
The only way we're going to win is if Scherzer matches him in seven
but
shutout
why can't
innings.
He just did that against St. Louis. He's Max Scherzer.
Yeah. I think we're going to be rusty.
If you talked about the Nats like you did weighted blankets, I mean, we'd have full phone lines.
He's putting a giant weighted blanket on my enthusiasm for this series. I tell you that much.
I mean, I feel like game one is a disaster waiting to happen.
See, yeah, real why is it a disaster?
EB.
It's the best pitcher on the planet
EB,
right now.
Could you
I hate Cole.
We haven't played in a month.
God, I hope Cole goes out there and beams three guys and gets called for a balk and his arm falls off his shoulder. God, well, I don't even care about the Nets. I just want you to be wrong.
No, I'm just saying, we're going against the best pitcher on the planet and we haven't played in a month.
I thought you were butt-sized for the Nets.
I'm so psyched. Hey, here's a stat, EB. You want a stat that's going to give you some encouragement?
Yeah.
All right. In the ALCS, the Astros' bullpen ERA was 4.0, four runs. Mm-hmm. What have the Nats done all season and especially all playoffs? They feasted on bullpens, late inning runs, late game runs.
Yeah.
All playoffs, all season, all year long.
Well, that'll be how
why would
they
be
have
any
to
different?
Do it. They're not going to get any off Cole.
And EB, or JP, you said they didn't get to Buehler. They didn't score on Buehler, but they knocked him out of the game in game five and got to the bullpen and then won the game. That's what they got to do. They got some runners on base.
Right. Eventually, once they get to 100-plus pitches, they'll leave.
It's like a giant raven over my shoulder. I feel like I'm Edgar Allan Poe throwing at me. Sorry.
All right. Thank you, John.
Right,
appreciate it.
See ya.
Look, I hope he's right.
I think they'll get one out of two in Houston.
Well, they get one out of two. It's on.
But, I mean, it could be in game one. I wouldn't be stunned if they came back 2-0. They're rolling. They've won 18 out of 21.
I'd be flabbergasted if they came back 2-0. 20% chance game one.
I mean, EB's talking about him like he's Cy Young. I know he's very good. I understand.
He hasn't lost in his last, 20 appearances.
I know. He's due. He is human. You can get to him at some point. You would hope. Nick Howie Kendrick's scared of Gerrit Cole.
His average fastball, 97.6. Against the Angels, 97.4 against Seattle, 97.1, 97. Guy throws 98 every time.
Whoopie-doo. I mean, all guys throw 98.
Not as effective as him.
The aces throw 98.
Not Clayton Kershaw. He came.
All right, he's former softball. Ace. The former ace.
Our aces don't really throw that like that anymore. They really don't.
Strasburg can't touch 98. They're doing
okay.
He
doesn't really. He could if he reared back and gave you a little extra, but he doesn't really do that anymore.
Yeah, but he gets everybody out on off-speed pitches. Didn't he have 12 Ks on all off-speed pitches the other day?
I love Stras. I love Max. Gerrit Cole's pitching better than both those guys.
If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. We're the Junkies. Coming right back.
All right, stop worrying about those pesky plumbing problems and call the 5-star plumbing experts at Crop Metcalf. From water heaters and garbage disposals to sump pumps and main water lines, Crop Metcalf's 5-star technicians can handle all of your plumbing needs. Call today and save $50 on your next plumbing service. Call 1-800-GO-CROP or visit CropMetcalf.com. Crop Metcalf, home of the 5-star technician and proud partner of the Washington Nationals, now serving Fauquier and Culpeper counties and the surrounding Piedmont area.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington on a Misery Monday driven by Priority Toyota Springfield, where you can have it all, including Priorities for Life, the most comprehensive lifetime vehicle coverage in the business. Shop PriorityToyotaSpringfield.com. Remember, if you missed today's show, no problem. Now you can rewind up to 24 hours with the Radio.com Rewind. Download the app, select our station, and you can go back in time.
Look at that.
Like Michael J. Fox. That's an old reference.
It is, but it's a good one.
Everybody gets that
reference.
Know Back to the Future if they're 40 or over, right?
Is there any chance Eric Bickle knows Michael J. Fox's character name from Back to the Future? What would you bet on? Would you bet on?
I don't even know if I'm great at it. I'm pretty sure I know it.
You give me initials?
Is it MM?
I believe it's MM, okay. Yes.
Second initial. M what?
M-A.
Matthew?
No, it's not Matthew.
Marty?
Marty McFly.
Yes.
There you go.
You just needed a little trigger there. You needed a little help.
Yeah, I just, yeah.
It triggered something in the recesses of the brain.
And his enemy, was it Biff?
Biff, yes. Okay. Of course, his rival.
It's been a long time since I saw this
movie. Yeah, it's a great movie. It's a classic, actually.
Movies just aren't that important to me. They don't have that much of an impact. Unless it's like Hoop Dreams. Then I remember every scene.
Hoop Dreams and Pelican Brief.
Pelican Brief. Those,
and The Firm.
Firm, another
those,
good.
Those would, what would be the other
the
movie?
The Chamber. On EB's, all the John Grisham no, probably movies.
EB's that, Mount Rushmore of movies. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Hoop Dreams.
Hoop Dreams number one.
Pelican Brief.
I liked Pelican Brief.
Yeah. The Firm.
Yeah, because I read the book.
What would be the fourth?
You don't have a good sports one like, besides Hoop Dreams? Mm-hmm. Like
what would be the
I liked Rain Man.
Rain Man?
Oh, Rain Man's excellent.
Also liked Good Will Hunting. I'm a big Good
yeah,
Will
that's
Hunting
a good
guy.
One.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Did you like The Town as much as we liked?
Yeah, I liked it.
Do you like any movies that have come out in the last 30 years? I mean, let's be honest. When did Rain Man
come
out?
Watch. I know you don't like to watch TV so much, but Billy Bob Thornton does a show called Goliath. I believe it's on, might be Amazon, maybe it's Netflix. But it's that, it's in the vein of the movies that you like.
Like, I like
it's a courtroom type drama.
When's Ozark coming back?
I don't know, but it is coming back.
Love Ozark. Can't get enough of Ozark.
Ozark's a good show.
Yeah.
That's the problem with all those Netflix shows, even Showtime.
Mm-hmm.
You'll watch a season, 10 episodes, you gotta wait a whole nother year and a half.
At some point, you gotta wait.
Looks right, like on. You have to wait for Alex Smith to play again. Apparently, we have a caller who's got an Alex Smith theory.
Blake, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junks.
Hey, what's up, guys? You guys are the best. I've been in Atlanta listening to y'all, so you guys know you're the GOAT.
Thanks,
thank you.
But,
did you start off here? Did you used to live in the D.C. area?
Yeah, I was born in Woodbridge. I moved into Atlanta in 04, so
that's a huge
obviously
upgrade.
Lifetime rent.
You did yeah. well.
Yeah, lifetime Skins fan though. But so yeah, I was calling about your thoughts about I'm sure you guys have seen the reports of Alex Smith last week finally throwing some passes on the field. You know, he said he had 17 surgeries on his leg, mm-hmm. and apparently they were all successful and everything. Now, I just want to know your thoughts. If Alex Smith was actually able to play next year, what are your thoughts on him just starting 2020 and having Dwayne Haskins develop behind him?
Is this a bit call? You're not serious, are you?
No. But the thing is, though, you see what happened to Teddy Bridgewater. I mean, his knee was supposed to be amputated. Look what he's doing now.
Now, this is just different, though. This is just different. I mean, they have had muscle tissue, all sorts of things happen there because of the infection. It's not just,
right,
you know.
Right.
It's unlikely, but I would still say there's a very small percent chance.
I'd say there's like a 1% chance.
Okay.
Yeah. He's not gonna, so, but maybe here's a more interesting hypothetical. If Alex Smith came back healthy, is that what you're saying? If,
right.
If he came back healthy,
yeah,
which I don't think
exactly.
is possible.
If he came if he came back healthy, which you're right, it's probably not going to happen, but if he does, you know?
I just think that the – who would I rather start?
He wants Haskins to have another redshirt season. I'm just curious, as a Redskins fan, when do you want to see Haskins play?
When he's ready, man. I just know right now he's not ready.
That's the correct
he's
answer.
Not ready.
He's ready. I don't know if he is or not, but that's the correct answer.
When he's ready.
They'll know.
Yeah.
Is Case Keenum ready?
The thing is,
you have no problem putting Case out
Case
there.
Case Keenum is a crash
yeah, he
test
look
dummy.
That ready. Is Colt McCoy ready?
Case Jesus. Keenum is just out there to take the bullets.
What have these quarterbacks done?
Until he's ready. Case is dreadful in this offense. It's been dreadful. But he's just there to take the bullets until Dwayne is ready. Whenever that is. When Dwayne could get up there and he could give us a chance to win and be successful.
Case Keenum's time is running short. Because if he doesn't have a decent game in a 72-degree dome where all the elements are not working against him, his time is running short.
You're right.
It just is.
But here's the problem. As soon as you put Dwayne out there, and this is – Dwayne shouldn't be dying to get out there, and I'm not sure that he is. As soon as you go out there, you're starting the clock ticking before people make their decisions on him, and they're going to decide on him quick, and it's not going to be fair. So he'll have 3 or 4 starts, and if it doesn't go well and it looks bad, people are going to start bailing left and right. So I wouldn't start that clock ticking – until I was ready to be evaluated for my, you know, this is your big test. And they're going to start, whether you're ready or not, they're going to start judging
you.
Here's
me holding a fake stopwatch, and I have my thumb is hovering over the button to start the clock ticking for him.
Okay.
Whether it's fair or not, it doesn't matter to me.
Here's the deal.
Well, it does if you're a fan of Dwayne and you want him to be successful. Just give him the best chance to succeed whenever that is. Maybe he is ready. Maybe he's ready right now. I have no idea.
Do you remember when you taught your kids how to ride a bike? It's nerve-wracking at first, right? They have training wheels.
Yeah.
At some point, you got to take the training wheels off, and they may fall a couple times.
Remember, I have a hack. I know how to teach kids how to ride a bike. You teach them on the grass. You can learn it. It's
pretty good
minutes.
Life hack.
It's the easiest life hack.
But they still may fall.
Yeah, but they
still
fall on the grass. It doesn't hurt. I have a life hack for teaching how to ride a bike. I don't have a life hack for how to play quarterback in the NFL. There are about 12 guys, maybe. That's probably a stretch. They could do it at an elite level. Maybe 10, because people don't even consider Kirk Cousins elite.
Yeah, but to wrap this all up, your ultimate life hack is the weighted blanket. Weighted blankie.
I highly recommend
I
that.
Ordered one today.
Did you?
Yeah, the biggest salesman ever.
Dude, people are texting me left and right that they've had them. They love them. Their wife has one.
Yeah.
I got a 20-pound one.
You did?
Yeah.
You need that. Me too.
Queen size.
Yeah, me too. What'd you get?
The queen size one.
Queen size. That's silly.
You're gonna get one day delivery?
It'll be I'll get it tomorrow.
Oh, you better make sure you do your whistling outside of that blanket.
Well, that's the thing.
Yeah, you gotta keep that thing clean. Because
you can't put that in the washer, you know, so no whistling on it. Or you gotta at least get a duvet cover.
May enhance it somehow.
Yeah.
You know, all right, remember, watch party Mad Hatter tomorrow night.
Mad Hatter
in DC. We gotta get out of here. Grant Danny next on the Fan.
Beep.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.